Now, in 2013, a video by the Australian artist Casey Jenkins went viral. It's called Casting Off My Womb, and it features Casey knitting wool that she's inserted into her vagina and then obviously pulls out gradually, and she knits a long scarf, some of it stained by her menstrual blood. Now, this video has been viewed 6 million times, and along the way, Casey's received a lot of vicious comments on the work. Many of them have been quite difficult for her to read. Now, she's knitting a response to that abuse as part of another performance piece for the Festival of Live Art in Melbourne. Here's Casey Jenkins speaking to Georgia Moody, and do be aware that this story contains some strong language.
Casey, we're here in the North Melbourne Town Hall in this room which has your new work programmed to reproduce in it. In one corner there's a cocoon which you're making. There's also a plinth where you read aloud online comments that your work has received. And in another corner there are three industrial knitters. And this work is a response to the torrent of online abuse you received about your 2013 work, Casting Off My Womb. How did you first react when you realised that the news story about your work was generating such cruel comments?
I think I was just overwhelmed. It felt really bizarre, a bit of an out-of-body experience. I'd gone through the internet wormhole. I didn't really know how to react. And so for a long time, I didn't really take it that personally because it seemed quite surreal. But then I think over time, it sort of has a cumulative effect and it sort of wears you down.
The received wisdom is not to read the comments when it comes to online comment sections. Why did you decide to read the comments about your artwork?
Well, I would follow that wisdom as well, generally, because it's like the best coping strategy we have, because the abuse is ubiquitous and so many people cop it. And if you're going to just sort of function and not be crushed, you just have to turn away from it. But then, like, that is a sort of a depressing way to live, to just have to accept that that's the way things are. You know, I think that we can sort of work towards something better, and that's what I would like to do with this piece, by sort of confronting and exploring the way people behave and treat each other in this sort of bullying and shaming that goes on in society. I think that by examining it, perhaps find ways of dismantling it.
Casey, I know that as part of this new work here, you share some of the comments that people have made on your work. Would you mind reading some of them for me?
Sure.
Maybe they're disgusting.
Disgusting. Coming right up. This is officially the most disgusting thing on my newsfeed. Why would she do that? That's seriously creepy. Most disgusting thing. I swear some feminists are crazy. This is the most disgusting thing I've seen in my life, and for her to think it's art is a sign she's insane. I know a hospital full of people she might get on with. She needs to knit a straitjacket. This lady is a whack job, batshit crazy. She is a dirty bitch, completely batshit cray. Menstruating, this isn't feminism, it's plain disgusting. Who wants to walk around smelling like that? What the hell is next? Disgusting. That's disgusting. Disgusting.
Disgusting. Casey, when you were reading those comments there, disgusting. I noticed that lots of the comments were made by other women. Disgusting. Did that surprise you?
Disgusting. It interested me when I saw it. I have never thought that it's just men who perpetuate the patriarchy, but I was surprised that there was such an imbalance. So it did seem to be people who were presenting as women were making quite a high majority of the comments. And I went through them because I'm aware that there's a perception, if there's a group of people talking, that women are talking more than men, when it's not often the case. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm just perceiving this you know, the women are being nasty when in fact they're not. But I went through, haven't done a scientific study of it, but encountered and know significantly more people did present as female. But also the people who are most supportive of it also presented as female. But it is disappointing that those people who would themselves be the target of this kind of gendered abuse would be perpetuating it. And I think that that is something that happens in shaming and bullying regularly, that it's sort of people who fear it the most, fear being the target of it, try and sort of align themselves or buffer themselves against it by becoming bullies themselves.
Can you go have a look at the cocoon?
Sure. The performance runs between three distinct sections, runs back and forth on no set time, but it's spending about an hour in each section. And this is the initial one, which I think of as kind of signifying the personal self and who you are when you're alone or with people who you trust. And so the whole work, I'm interested in the interaction between public and private selves and how far it's possible to forge a sense of autonomous identity when there are all this sort of barrage of opinions coming at you for how you should behave and who you should be. And so this is creating a little safe space. And in it, I'm naked and I'm crouched down and knitting, this time not even using needles, just finger knitting from wool again that I insert in my vagina. And so I'm creating a cord over the course of the performance and then making a little cocoon for myself to sit in.
You've also got some industrial knitting machines. What are they here for?
Well, it's that the original performance that I did was so quiet and gentle and just knitting by myself, and then the internet response was so loud and repetitive and almost automated that it seemed appropriate to me to go from hand knitting to machine knitting to explore the response. And so I have been collecting some comments, and I've hacked a knitting machine and these old knitting machines from the early 90s to knit out digital images. It's still a very time-consuming, fiddly process, but that's what I've been sort of accumulating over time. And over the course of this festival performance, I'm going to be knitting a large banner.
These are oversized copies of the comments on social media and online that people have made about your work, Casting Off My Womb.
Yeah, that's right. And I've used some of the wool that I've used has been dyed with my menstrual blood as well, which I thought was kind of, originally it was like sticking my finger up at the commenters, so I guess because I thought that would really piss them off if they found my blood so disgusting to have it used on their comments. But then over time, it's sort of, my attitudes towards the commenters has evolved, because I'm trying through this to try and find a way to live with all of that kind of negativity, because I don't see it dissipating anytime soon. I don't agree with the dominant culture on a lot of factors, so I can't expect them to applaud me. So I have to kind of find a way not to be crushed by their disapproval. And so it started out like knitting with the menstrual blood was kind of a little bit combative of me. But then I don't know. Menstrual blood is a very loaded material. And over the past few months, I went through sort of a few personal things. I had a miscarriage, and menstrual blood, the meaning of it, changed dramatically for me. And I thought I didn't want to waste it on these nasty comments. But then again, I sort of thought, I don't know, maybe it'll be like a little bit of a peace offering. I started to feel sort of paternally towards these unruly brats who were making comments. So I'm kind of wrapping them up in my knitting and in my blood.
Casting off my womb was a meditation on what it meant for you being a queer woman at an age when people expect women to have children. Does this work also delve into society's expectations of women in another way?
I'm interested in how individual identity is formed when put up against the societal expectations, how you become what you're expected to become, and how you could resist those pressures. In casting off my womb, I am queer, and at the time I was just sleeping with women, so I wasn't going to fall accidentally pregnant, and so my life was probably not going to follow the path that is considered sort of natural and proper for a woman in her mid-30s, which is to become a mother. And since then, I have started seeing a man, and I did fall pregnant. And so suddenly my life was what would be expected. You know, I was doing what was expected of me before I had the miscarriage. Just that it's no easier to tease out whether what you're doing because it's what you should be doing, what is right for you, what you're best built for, or you're doing it because you're under pressure to do it. I think both of the works are about trying to find out, you know, to what extent behaviours are influenced by all of these community pressures.
On RN, Casey Jenkins speaking to Georgia Moody, and Casey's work, Programmed to Reproduce, is on at the North Melbourne Arts House as part of the Festival of Live Art until the 11th of March. And I'd love to know what you think about Casey's work. Let us know via Twitter or Facebook. I'll tell you what I reckon. When you first hear about her, you think, oh, this is ridiculous. Why would anybody do that? But when you hear her speak, well, for my money, she just invests the whole project with a kind of dignity and quiet intelligence that makes you reassess, well, your view of the world. And I reckon that really is ultimately what art is all about. I'm Michael Cathcart, and this is Books and Arts.